Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, well,
so
we start.
Now we're back together.
I wanna show you.
Don't know the
my
rest.
My heart is oh so true.
And all the love I had is especially for you.
We're back.
We're back. Brendan has two a lovely colour.
Two become three.
We didn't plan that song.
No.
Would you believe?
I mean, I don't think anyone even wants. I'm like, edit that out, Brendan. Brendan's back with a lovely tan. You got
Thanks.
A lovely colour. Tell us about your trip.
Factor 30 on the body, 50 on the visage. You know, always want to be sun safe.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to look like a leather handbag.
No, you know that app that everyone's using this week that's
yeah.
making them look older?
That
terrifying.
Terrifies me, that app.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the privacy settings, I saw on Twitter today, they can use it on anything they want.
Yeah.
Any picture, and they can take all your personal information, and everyone's like, the company who owns this, they're not sure about it.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Good to know.
I know. I downloaded it
America.
Downloaded it briefly, did it, and then deleted the app again. Also, I think at one point it said, there will be a recurring charge of $56.99 a month if you don't unsubscribe.
We're actually all idiots, God, and I mean the whole human race.
I did do it yesterday, but I didn't download it. I used my boyfriend's
Somebody
app.
Somebody else's, yeah.
I looked horrific. Yeah, he looked very attractive.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
as an older man, yeah.
Lovely.
I think some people do look great.
You're
like, wow.
Yeah, I did not look great. We're all back from our holidays. All back in the one room.
Yeah. I'm chewing, sorry.
I wasn't really away, to be honest. I feel like I've been here for ages.
Oh, yes. You haven't been anywhere.
No. Oh, I was in Rome.
You were in Rome, yeah.
Yeah, just I wasn't away for that long. So you know yourself. You don't really feel like you had a you know. You were away for ages.
Are
you in two
jealous
countries
of me?
No, because I went on holidays for a month earlier on this year and I'll probably go on another one.
So. Thank you.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah, I had a lovely time. I got a bit of a tan. Saw Celine Dion in London.
Iconic.
Personally or on stage?
On stage.
Is she good?
Which to me is personally.
It's like she was on the tube.
She was everything I hoped for and more. But like, to be fair, it was just one giant sing along. It was like one giant karaoke. You couldn't hear her.
No, that's what you want. I kept seeing loads of people I know at it. And I was like, oh my fucking God. Like everyone kept singing so loud I couldn't hear her.
Yeah,
so
no,
I was dying to know how she sounded.
She looked iconic. She sounded great as far as I could make out.
Floor length ball gown.
Oh, like
several.
Amazing.
The green one.
The green one was my favourite, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
She came out in this blue, like kind of electric blue jumpsuit at the start with these puffy shoulders.
Oh my
and
God.
Jet black sunglasses. She just walked out. I was like, yes.
So you were in London and then you were in Spain.
And then I went to Spain to lie down for a few days, yeah.
To think about the lie.
To think about the lie.
Brendan sent us these videos of him.
Can we post them, Brendan?
Yeah, can we? Because they're so funny.
They are
him
so
sitting along
funny
a boardwalk on his own and he's just staring out at the sea and he goes, thinking about the lie.
It's so funny. And then there's another one on the beach later on that day and it's watching the waves. They are.
we were.
It literally looks
laugh
like you've gone to Monterey, Brendan.
I did go to Monterey, yeah. That's where I was.
Good
yeah
for you, honey.
Will you?
We'll pop them
up
on Shrine Pods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have an old look at them. So we're back in the room, and for me, finally, I feel like this was a really good episode. Like, I was like, the courtroom scenes, loving it. There was a bit of drama this week.
Something happened.
Finally. I thought it was a really good episode. There was a lot of like, I don't know if we want to call them because I'm doing the recap in a few minutes and I got very confused. Are they flash forwards? Are they predictions? Are they thoughts? Are they daydreams of Bonnie's?
Yeah, there they was were a lot really of them. Confusing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of weird shit going on with her mom in that room. I'm like, she's up out of the bed, she's in the bed, she's alive, she's dead.
She's crying.
She's drowned. She's
the
crying.
Single tear. I was like, can she hear? Yeah.
It is confusing. I am loving this whole supernatural storyline that they've got going on. Like, are they communicating with each other?
No, Brenton. I think she's just in a coma and she can hear her.
What's supernatural about it?
But because it's like, because when Bonnie's mum touched her, she could see, like she can see the water
she had
and everything.
The same vision.
And then she had a stroke.
Brendan, like, a pinch of salt wouldn't kill something? You.
Yeah, I think there is definitely an underlying supernatural storyline going on.
And that comes from our resident psychic.
It is. Like, I mean, the actress's name is Crystal, for God's sake.
Each to their own. It's opinions.
Okay.
We have a podcast for discussion.
I'll keep my mind open.
Thank
then
you, Brendan.
Imagine next week if like something that I'd be sitting there chuffed. Yeah, I mean, you'll never hear the end of it.
If it goes all OA on us.
If it went all OA, I would be here for it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you loved the OA, didn't you?
Loved the OA.
I didn't watch season two.
Neither did I.
Guys.
I just didn't have the desire.
No. I was done with the interpretive dancing.
No. Season two is fantastic.
Well, do you know what? Really? I need to show because this is nearly over. Stranger Things 3, I'm
adored.
After watching that. Absolutely best out of the three. Yeah. It was absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
I'm watching like, is it The World's Most Extreme Homes on Netflix? Like that's not, I'm not following it obviously.
Yeah.
I'm just into it.
Yeah,
so like I could do with something new.
A podcast on that.
Guys, it's absolutely.
And then she got the Z beds out.
Let me, if I could just get the official name and like I'm giving you a recommendation on this. It's absolutely brilliant. They travel all over the world and just look at the world's most extraordinary homes.
Wow.
So you just get a tour around episode. People's gorgeous houses.
I love that though.
You two would love
so nosy
that.
Love being nosy.
Exactly.
Like my friend's mom used to go to viewings. She had no interest in buying a new house. She used to just bring us along when we were kids.
Yeah.
I was walking around these houses with like swimming pools and cinemas and all just because she wanted a goo.
Yeah, everyone's at that. It's
that.
Like Vince Vaughn and I Love You Man.
Guys,
if you haven't seen that film.
Right, we'll go home and watch The World's
I Love You
Most
Man.
Extraordinary.
The World's Most Extraordinary Home.
Do you know what I watched last night for the first time ever?
What?
And it was that thing that we were doing. We were scrolling around on Netflix, just couldn't settle on anything. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, so good.
I'd never seen it before.
Oh, Four Weddings and a Funeral. That's Richard Curtis, isn't it?
It's Richard Curtis,
yeah.
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 I only watched it the first time at Christmas.
She's not a great actress.
No.
She's not great. Well, you have
she's not great.
When was the last time you seen her apart from that now? Do you know what I mean? That says it all.
Like,
because I couldn't get over Four Weddings
the
and a
delivery
funeral.
Of some of those
you know
lines.
Richard Curtis did that new film yesterday. Haven't seen it yet. Now I'm going to go
yeah.
next.
What did he do that with? Danny Boyle?
Yeah, Danny Boyle directed it. He wrote it.
Yeah, I'm dying to go see it.
Now I'm a real I love a rom-com. Anything
yeah.
Richard Curtis has done I
but
love
like,
it's
what,
just guaranteed.
Love Actually, About Time,
isn't it? Notting Hill and all
yeah.
them.
Yeah, he's
real
he's
British
phenomenal,
real, yeah all them.
Lion King, that's out.
Yes.
This
couldn't
weekend.
Care less.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
Couldn't give a shite.
I can't wait.
No, I'm just so I'm the opposite. All that everyone getting dead excited for like Aladdin and all these.
Oh no,
remakes.
Aladdin couldn't give a shit about. No.
Hannah, I'm so glad you're like this because I've honestly, and I know people won't believe me when
no.
I say this, and Brendan is horrified. I have never seen The Lion King.
That's grand. I've
yeah,
seen it.
I was
very,
a Disney
very,
person.
Very, very, very upsetting. And then there's an Elton John song in it. Like I don't know what else to say.
That's actually so true. Like I
like,
didn't
it's
watch
beautiful.
Any movies like that when I was younger.
I did. I watched them once and then I moved on. But like I have friends when I was growing up with that would have DVD nights that I just couldn't go to because it was like, oh, we're going to rewatch like Aladdin, Lion King, Mulan, Cinderella. Whatever, and
yeah.
like I just felt really left out because I was the only one that didn't like them. But I'm like,
oh my god,
they're desperately
so
sad.
Sisters.
I don't want to cry. Do you know what I mean?
And we're over it. We know. Like, and also, can they not come out with like come up with a new idea instead of all these remakes?
I'm really sick
of
it.
Oh, there's a rumor going around the internet that Disney said before he died that they all had to be remade every 10 or 20 years so that new generations would get to.
But can
I
just
mean,
say
that's
one
a
thing?
Making racket.
Hocus Pocus is one of the best films of all time, and they're giving remakes for Mulan and not Hocus Pocus. How can you not do that?
You should
yeah.
write to. Disney.
I have the sequel written, guys.
Yeah, I just think people need to be looking at books, like really, really good books, and making films out of that instead of remaking and remaking. Like Bridget Jones was one of the best things I ever seen when it first came out.
And I loved the third one as well.
Such a really good girl's like female voice in film, and I'm just like, I couldn't be arsed watching the new Princess Jasmine or whatever. Like I'm over it.
I think that's why like shows like Big Little Lies are great, and you know the fact that actresses have production companies now. Like Reese Witherspoon is doing Eleanor Oliphant,
and she is doing that exact thing that I want people to do, which is go and find a new author or a new voice and give them the money to make it into a film. If you haven't seen Eleanor Oliphant, the book is called
Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine, or absolutely fine.
It's absolutely fine.
It's such a good book,
brilliant. And Reese is going to do that next. Like she found this book from I was about to say written by Laura Dern. It's obviously not written by Laura Dern.
Leanne Moriarty.
Okay.
Laura Dern is everything.
That's enough shite
talk. Okay, so episode 6, there was a bit of courtroom drama. I was well and truly had my teeth sunk into it.
Oh,
Reb.
Edge of the seat.
Guys, it was tough going.
Bring us the recap.
So this episode was called The Bad Mother. And I thought that was pretty apt, to be honest.
Ambiguous as well.
Yeah, totally ambiguous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? It was because it made her out to be a bad mother.
No, but it could have been anyone.
It could have been Celeste as a mother. It could have been Bonnie's mother. It could have been Mary Louise as a mother.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know why, I just assumed it was going to be Celeste.
Yeah, no, just, but I think it applies to all of them, though. Do you know
it
what
does,
I mean?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, they're all bad bitches. Right. So, the first scene, as per usual, like Brendan looking at the waves, it was them on trivia night, a flashback. And to be honest, guys, I said this earlier on, my head is a bit sore from all the flashback, flash forward, like premonition. This, it is, when you're writing down what happens, it is a bit like, like I was like, when I was watching it, I was like, what? Like, what's going on? Anyway, we then see Jane speeding on the way to Corey's house. She arrives. She asks him if he's a cop. He asks her to come in and he's like, I'm going to explain everything.
Oh, we were straight into that, weren't we? I was a bit like, I haven't even had my first cup of tea, like sip of tea. Like I thought that we were going to build up to that.
It was like, bam. So anyway, he explains that he was called in for questioning by Detective Quinlan, and he says basically that he was asked whether they had ever spoken about Perry Wright's death. So he's telling her, like he's telling her how it is. Well, I mean, apparently. Corey also says that the detective knows all about Jane's history. He knows that Perry raped her, and she knows that he's evil and that he is Ziggy's dad. So, I mean, Detective Quinlan, I mean, to be honest, she is on the ball a bit, even though she hasn't really done anything this season.
Where did she get this information from?
I presume Mary Louise.
Yeah.
Because there is a scene coming up in a few minutes that the two of them are looking at all of Celeste's tapes together.
Yeah.
So she must have got that info. Quinlan says that one of the five witnesses will finally crack, and she told Corey that the one who does will get a break and the other four are fucked.
Yeah, that was pretty straight up, wasn't it?
It really was. What are your thoughts on the Corey situation? Like, do you think that he is still playing a game?
No, because if this happened at the start of the season, I would think there's more to it, but they kind of put it in there and then took it away from us, like 3 minutes of screen time later.
And I think the fact that they just got it in and out of the way at the start of the episode means that it isn't anything.
Yeah,
whereas
I agree.
They dragged it out a bit more, maybe there could be more to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's still a bit more there, yeah. So then we see Mary Louise and Detective Quinlan watching tapes of Celeste being interviewed about the moment that Perry fell. She tells the same story every time that she's questioned, which that's a really bad thing because it looks like you've rehearsed it and agreed on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And she kind of does say this exact same thing twice. And also Celeste says that she doesn't have a proper memory of everything that happened, and that's why it's also inconsistent. So that's just a little...
But also it was super consistent because it was the exact same phraseology every time.
Yeah, it was literally like a rehearsed line. Do you know that way? Meanwhile, the Monterey Five meet up at the beach at night time, not looking suspicious at all. Madeline tells them that they aren't going to break and that they all need to stay calm. Madeline, the most calm person in the world. Like, Jesus. Bonnie and her start scrapping, right? Madeline is like, I'm sick of you and your fucking feelings. And then she says, let's not forget you're the one who pushed him.
Out, Madeline.
Yeah, that was really harsh.
So harsh. And also I'm like, you're all in, like, you could have just told, we all know you could have just bloody said that he was about to kill someone and that you pushed him. Anyway,
yeah.
Jane kind of intervenes and she's like, guys, he slipped. We then see a quick clip of Bonnie being interviewed in the station, and she says she started to run at Perry, and the closer she got to him, the more that she did what she had to do.
Yeah.
What are we calling that? A flash for...
No, I think that's just her standing there with them all on the beach and then just imagining if she had just done that.
Yeah, it's almost like these are snippets of her confession she's writing down.
I think she's just thinking about what... with that confession in the interview and like with her mother in the hospital. I think it's just literally her having a daydream.
Yeah. It is unusually edited, this episode, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm like, is this showing us, you know, like, is it showing us maybe her confession book? Is it like kind of playing out snippets of what she's writing down?
I think it's daydreams.
I think it's daydreams as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So we then see a clip. It then cuts to Bonnie writing her confession in her journal. So she is writing down. It is implied that she's writing down.
She's thinking about it and writing
what she would say if she was.
Well, is
in
she
that
not
position?
Writing what she reads to her mother at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she is in the hospital beside her mother's bedside, and we realise that it isn't, in fact, like the scene that we just saw was a daydream. Her dad walks in upset and asks her if she's ready, because he's not. And he's speaking about Bonnie's mum, and he says that she's too damn young and that they will fight this. So we know that the situation...
I got very upset at that point, because like, I don't really care about Bonnie's parents too much, but like, I kind of didn't realise she was going to die. I don't think I was taking her illness that seriously.
Yeah, no.
And then when they said that, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, Zoe Kravitz, Bonnie, she's so young. She's going through such a hard time. I don't know. I think I just had an empathy explosion for her situation. I couldn't cope with it.
At home, Madeline and Ed are drinking wine and eating cheese. It looks really nice. It's
obviously
a lovely cracker. And Madeline tells Ed about telling Bonnie to fuck off that day. And Ed's like, why were you all having this secret meeting? And he asks how this fight came about. And he's like, oh, is it about the custody battle? And Madeline's like, no. And he's like, then what was it about? And Ed kind of says, you know, it feels like you're hiding again.
But why
like,
did she even tell him?
But why would she say no? Was it about the custody battle? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Like, that was the easiest out.
Or just
out.
Don't tell him. Like, I don't think, like, would you come to her home and be like, oh, I told so-and-so to fuck off today? Like, are you bigger fish to fry with him alone?
I feel like Madeline is unravelling the way Bonnie was at the very start of the
Agreed.
Season. She just had a delayed reaction, and that actually Madeline could be the one who could fuck up the whole life for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You know? Like Brendan on his holidays in Spain, at home, Celeste is staring at the waves. Max and Josh come out to join her because they can't sleep. So that's just a little shot of her kind of at home with the boys. In Renata's house, Madeline talks to her about how Ed knows that she's lying about something. Renata says she cannot tell him or else they're all fucked and Celeste will lose her kids. At work, Corey asks Jane why she isn't returning his calls and texts and whether it's because of the whole situation with the police. In hospital, Bonnie is at her mum's bedside and she has a vision, daydream, imagines her mum crying, and she goes to smother her with the pillow, which was like...
Which I thought was actually happening.
So did I.
I was like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of showing us her thought process.
It's showing us what drama could happen.
Yes.
But hasn't.
At course, Mary Louise lurks over to Celeste and says how sorry she is that it has all come to this. But at the end of the day, they are all still family. Celeste is like, Mary Louise, like, we're not fucking family.
Do you know who Mary Louise reminded me of in this episode?
Who?
Gail Platt.
did not.
She just...
You know who she fucking reminds me of?
Around the place.
Norris. You know Norris from Carrie?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a bit like Norris as well.
Yeah.
Always popping up like nosy Norris.
Oh, she's bloody everywhere, isn't she?
The beady eyes.
Because she's nothing else
bloody
to
teeth.
Do. She doesn't work. She's just floating around looking for them women to annoy them.
We need to do a calendar of Mary Louise's day, because obviously we saw the calendar last week. This week was like, think about the lie, drive around about the lie, brood, meet the girls to talk about the
and
lie.
And I want to do one of those, which Mary Louise are you today? And like, get the screen grab of her getting her glasses slapped off her face.
No, that was, oh my God. So this is where shit starts to get real in the episode. The judge brings up the findings of the child psychologist and says that she doesn't want to take the boys from the only home that they've ever known, but that she's concerned. She says they will proceed with an evidentiary hearing tomorrow. And that Celeste will have to be questioned. In the car park, Celeste tells her lawyer that she is not settling, and the lawyer says that basically Mary Louise's lawyer is going to try and make her look really erratic and that she needs to go home and just get some rest. So like Celeste is on the edge.
Yeah.
In the hospital, the doctor says that there's nothing more that they can do for Bonnie's mum and that they just have to basically wait. And Bonnie asks if they can kill her or manage her pain with morphine. The doctor and Bonnie's dad both look absolutely horrified.
They're just like, no.
So in my mind, I was a little bit, God, it's not that I want Bonnie to kill her mom, but again, I suppose I just want something massive to happen. And when Bonnie said that, I'm like, oh, she's not going to do it now because it's too obvious, the questions that she's asking the nurses.
She's asked it, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it. I know, you remember for a week or two, we were like, oh, Bonnie seems a bit better.
No.
Like, it's just...
Never mind.
Never mind. Back in Renata's house, she's talking to Gordon. Sorry. Every time I think about the two of them, I'm always just like, oh my God. So they're talking about the hearing that they're having, right? So they're hearing about being bankrupt
the
or whatever.
Bankruptcy hearing, yeah.
So they're saying that that's going to be open to the public. And, you know, Renata's like,
open
oh,
to the public.
Imagine.
I'd be in.
Like the way my friend's mum would view in the house, we'd be viewing that. Can you imagine?
The American judicial system is off the wall.
It is a bit mad, all right. Anyway, she's like, you know, I wish I knew the judge or I knew a friend of a friend of the judge or whatever. Anyway, then walks in Juliet, right? Have we ever met Juliet before?
Yeah, she screams at her on the phone in the first episode.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Juliet!
Juliet!
Yeah, she always pronounces it like Juliet.
Yeah.
So Amabella's nanny, Juliet, walks in with a suitcase and she's like saying her goodbyes and she's basically like, you know, thanks for everything. Where's my severance payment? And Renata is like, listen, we know we owe it to you, but it's in the whole bankruptcy trustee hands and we'll try and find a way for you to get a new job, blah blah blah. Juliet's like goodbye, she's in tears. Renata's crying. Renata's like, we will rise up and hire you back. And Gordon just sits there like he says bloody nothing.
Yeah, do you know, and what is going to come, I sensed it was from that scene I was like oh my God.
Because she looks at him and it lingers. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. She looks 16.
But also,
I love Renata. Sorry, Brendan. Renata is trying to reassure her by being like, don't worry, we'll rise up and hire you again. Yeah. Not give you the severance money or anything like that. You can work for us once again.
Oh, I was a bit dopey this week. I was like, Jesus, Gordon's an awful old prick not saying anything. Like, I just didn't even notice.
Go on.
Elsewhere, Jane and Ziggy are surfing and then they're walking out of the water and they see Corey and he's like, you know, are you going to freeze me out forever? And Jane's like, it's going to take me a long time before I let someone in again. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough, Jane. Corey is being a bit of a
so
little shit. Like,
fair.
So fair.
She already had trust issues.
Yeah.
The following day, Madeline approaches Bonnie before they walk into the custody hearing and she's basically like, I'm really sorry for how I acted. I was completely out of line. I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. And especially with everything that's going on with your mum, it's just, you know, it wasn't right. And Bonnie's basically like, yeah, I'm going through some stuff. And she's also like, Madeline, the lie is obviously getting to you.
Yeah,
and like
about
that
time.
Scene was in there for a reason, you know. The two of them are, as Chloe said, unhinged.
Yeah.
And we've known about Bonnie the whole time, but now Madeline is like...
And there's a little suggestion of something to come in the trailer for the final episode as well about Madeline.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, Asterix. Mm-hmm. So this is where things for Celeste really start to get like dark for her in the courtroom. So she takes to the stand and the lawyer is asking her about her abusive relationship with her husband and whether it was ever thrilling. He asks if they ever had the violence that they basically were both inflicting violence on each other, if it ever led to gratifying sex. He asks her if she misses the violence and she says, I miss my husband but I don't miss getting beat up. He also asks her if she ever told the police. She says she told the therapist. He points out a photo of a guy that she met at the bar and he's like, what's his name? And she can't really give an answer. She kind of says Joe and then, yeah, a few different names. He asks if they had sex and he points out that she doesn't know the name. He asks her if they were violent and if she's over her sickness. He puts up another picture of a guy called Michael and asks if they had sex and it got physical. He shows a few more pictures and...
Because all we knew about was Joe from the bar. We hadn't seen all the other guys.
Yeah, we saw like one flash, but it was kind of like we thought it was Perry or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, of her somewhere else. And basically the lawyer is asking Celeste, like, you know, have your sons ever met these men? And she goes on to reveal that she has trouble sleeping and she does mention taking Ambien. And then the lawyer's like, oh, have you ever taken Ambien and driven off the road? So then she's
and Mary
like,
Mary Louise is sitting there with the chain, just like looking coy.
It's absolutely how outrageous how much everything is fair game in those trials, isn't it? Because I know that she hasn't done everything perfectly, but also, like, if you want to sleep with people and your children are being babysat and they're safe, then off you go. Like, I don't think that should ever come into whether you're a good mother or not.
It was
pretty bad. Celeste is like, listen, I have engaged in self-destructive behavior since her husband's death, and she's like, I've always put my children first and I've always kept them safe. He then goes on to ask her if she's ever been violent with the kids and if she's ever slapped her mother-in-law in the face. Oh my god,
can't lie under oath, can you?
No, and there's gifts about that. The lawyer then shows a simulated video of how Perry would have fallen if he was pushed or if he actually lost his balance.
Like, also, what relevance did that have? Like, whatever, I get that with the, you know, kind of sleeping with different men and maybe being getting violent, they're trying to ruin her character so that the kids will be taken off her. But her husband dying in a completely separate, that has nothing to do with her character.
Reb made a very good point last week, Benjamin. You were on holiday.
Oh, I heard it.
Yes, what that was. Say? You think the whole reason Mary Louise is going for child for custody of the twins is because in the American system, you have the right to bring up. So she basically can't get Celeste charged and there won't be a trial for Perry's murder unless there's more evidence. However, she had an opportunity to bring up the murder and bring up the evidence in this custody trial. So Reb thinks that's the whole reason she went after the kids. She's no intention of taking them. She just wanted to bring this up in court.
Yeah.
Possibly because Detective Quinlan told her to do so.
Yeah,
so
I think you're dead right. But why does the system allow her to bring that up in a completely different trial? Like, it has no relevance.
Not to be like to tar everyone with the same brush, but the American judicial system is fucked for so many different things.
Okay.
Right. So basically, Celeste is like, I didn't push him and he did actually lose his balance. She then goes into the back room like and takes a break with the other four women.
The camera cuts, doesn't it, at that point? Is it to the other four all just kind of looking a bit sweaty? Oh. And then Detective Quinlan's over the other side of the room.
She's staring
at them to watch their reaction to the diagram of him being pushed.
Bonnie's reaction wasn't great.
No, it wasn't at all.
She can't even
I thought she was
going
to stand up and they kept cutting to her standing up these little daydreams. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jesus, she's
doing
it. I
thought she was going to do it as well.
So
So Celeste goes into the back room with the other four women and she's like, I'm so shocked that Mary Louise actually had me followed. And then her lawyer and the girls tell her that she needs to go back in and really fight for her kids because obviously it was just horrific. Bonnie then has a flash of her standing up in court the moment the judge asks if Perry was pushed and admit that it was actually her. We then see Detective Quinlan in her office looking at photos of all the women on trivia night after the incident. So that's just another kind of like, she's been on them since the start kind of.
I think you called it, Reb. I think we're going to see a clip next week of Detective Quinlan outlining to Mary Louise exactly what she needs to do.
Jesus. Meanwhile, Ed meets up with Tori and the girls in a cafe and tells her that he has no intention of doing anything, but part of him wants to. Tori says that her shrink says it's not actually about inflicting payback on your spouse, but more about getting a sense that you didn't just take it and swallow your pride and be a victim. She says she does want him to pay. She wants her husband Joseph to pay for the affair he had with Madeline, but she is actually attracted to Ed. And she goes on to say that she keeps a masturbation diary and a bucket list, and Ed is on both. Oh my god, imagine if someone was like, you're on my bucket list. Like,
imagine if someone was like, you're on my masturbation diary.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's
which would you rather, Brandon?
So who keeps a diary?
Would you rather be
on a bucket list
or B, in a masturbation diary?
A bucket list.
But what you, if I'm on your bucket list?
Yeah, it means a thing to do before you die, Brendan.
You'd rather be on a bucket list, surely.
Of course,
you'd want to be involved.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, depending on who the person is, actually,
you might want to be.
If
involved.
I'm not into them, I want to be on their masturbation list. Thanks.
Oh, can we cut that clip of Brendan just going, "I want to be on their masturbation list"?
Now we can cut it of you.
I'm a respectable person.
Yeah, no, we'll get you back for something else. So anyway, right, Tori is like, listen, Ed, don't overthink it. you know, if we have sex, we probably will love it.
She's and cracked.
If like, we don't, we'll just move on. And like, Ed is sweating in that shop. Like, I thought Nathan walked by the door at one point. I was like, rewinding
yeah,
it last night. I was
yeah.
like, is that Nathan? Who is that man? And like, Ed's sweating. Everyone's staring at him.
He's pretty smiley though as well, isn't he?
Sure, yeah. He's loving a bit of the flirt.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I'm like, Ed, what? We'll get to this, but I'm like, Ed is just
her with,
you know,
the melons.
Yeah, Ed is all over the place at the moment. Like, I don't know what he's doing. No, I know, but I just found that this and then him being like to Madeline, like, it's, I just found him in this episode, it was a bit odd.
Yeah, but you're meant to think that. You're meant to go, okay, so is he after riding Tori and that's why he's coming back to Madeline in a good mood? Or is the Tori thing after pushing him to realise that he actually wants to be with his wife and that's why he's coming back to Madeline in a good mood?
I think he's playing both sides.
I think you're not, there's a scene we're missing there that we'll get in the last episode. That's how I read that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he will ride her though. I think he's just like entertaining it to make himself feel better. Maybe
Potential,
he will.
Or
yeah.
he already has.
Madeline then drives around thinking about trivia night, thinking about the lie, about her relationship with Ed. She arrives home and she tells Ed that she really hopes that she can earn back his trust, and he says he wants to, but he can't just wave a magic wand, neither can she.
God, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's true. Jane arrives at Mary Louise's house and she's like banging on the door, like, and she's like, why are you doing all this? You know, she's like, call it off. And then Mary Louise is like, listen, I thought about it. And then she considered the boys and she's like, listen, Celeste isn't well. And Jane's like, I just see a woman who is struggling and who isn't struggling. And then Mary Louise is like, are you struggling,
oh
Jane?
Oh my God.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With your conscience, perhaps. And then Mary Louise is like, listen, Ziggy actually told me that you bought a gun. And were you ever planning on using it on my son? And she's like, did you move to Monterey to hunt my son down? And then she like slams the door. She locks the door. Jane is banging on the door, shouting through. And she's like, Jane's like, you know, how hard is, like, Ziggy's life is going to be so hard when, like, he knows that he's a product of rape. And Mary Louise just stands there and she's like sporting this expression of like full satisfaction.
And now, Jane, do you want to know how I felt during the scene? One of the rare scenes where I felt sorry for Mary Louise.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So when she shut the door and she was just standing in her house all alone and she had the music blaring to drown out Jane banging down the door and she's like, your son is a monster, he raped me, blah, blah, blah. I actually just felt really sorry for her. And it's happened like twice over the whole series and I'm not sympathising with her as a whole. I'm just saying in that moment, my initial reaction was, I feel sorry for her. Like, her son was a monster and now yeah. she has to deal with this and she's the one left behind.
I should feel sorry for her, but what is making me not feel sorry for her is just her belligerence. She's just like, no, he wasn't. No,
yeah,
like, she just won't hear it.
But I think she knows. And in that minute, I just read the truth in her face and I think she was really listening to Jane. But she'll be back in the queer face then the next day with the mask back on. Do you know what I mean?
But then if she really knows it and she agrees, then why is she trying to set out to prove
yeah.
that?
No, I think she's the monster.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Mary Louise is just, that look on her face there, I just kind of read it as like, she was just kind of like sitting back and like blaring the music being like, you know, fuck you, I don't
yeah,
care what my son
enough.
Did. She's just very evil. So after that, Celeste puts the boys to bed and she walks into the kitchen and she's looking for some alcohol and she downs a couple of vodkas and then she starts seeing flashbacks of her and Perry in the house and then her and other men that she was with. She then kind of is like, oh Jesus, pours the vodka down the sink and she starts crying. very, it's, Celeste is just having an awful time.
Yeah, it's desperate.
I feel like she's no one to turn to because even the women.
She looks great.
Yeah, she does look great. But even the women that she, like her friends, they're all so affected by it as well. Like,
yeah.
Like, where's the therapist?
Yeah. Wasn't in this episode.
No, I don't think we saw her last week either.
No, we haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in a while. At home, Ed, Chloe and Abigail arrive back to loads of loud music. Madeline's dancing around in her wedding dress to a cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Everybody wants to. Yeah. And Madeline is, she basically is like, oh, I was cleaning out my closet and then I saw the dress and then I put it back on because it reminded me of a time that I was a good person and I wanted to reconnect with that person. And then she says that she put the song on because Ed picked it for their wedding. And Ed sits down on the bed and he says, they can't wave a wand, but that's pretty close.
I felt like that was a really warm, both of them, it was like a really genuine moment.
I think he was thrilled when he walked in.
Yeah.
Because he caught her in the act, like she wasn't doing it for him. She was just dancing around for herself. But I think he was so happy that a memory with him brought her that much happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did feel more genuine than like a lot of the other scenes we've seen with them.
Yeah.
Bonnie is then asleep at her mum's bedside in hospital. She's having a vision of the water and then it flashes to her mum getting up out of the hospital bed and telling her to come towards the light. Like what?
Yeah, I don't know.
And double then Nathan driving. Walks in with Skye and they play Bonnie's mum some music and Bonnie's like to Skye, you're the best daughter in the world, which I was like, oh God, is she going to go and do something stupid now? Bonnie then sees flashbacks of the abuse in her childhood. Elsewhere, Celeste does her makeup for before the next day of the hearing. And in the courtroom, her lawyer asks her about the day before and whether she's getting help for all of the stuff that's been going on. And Celeste is like, yeah, I'm going to a therapist. I'm not taking Ambien anymore. And she says she will get help for the sex addiction and that the behaviour will stop. The judge is like, listen, can you explain to me what's going on? And Celeste is like, listen, I just wanted to be touched and be in control. I wanted to actually push Perry out of me. But the way she kept using the word push, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
she said it a couple of times and I was like, oh my God, stop saying push. Stop saying push. You're like, I want to actually push Perry. Push Perry. Push Perry.
Okay.
The judge is like, why did you stay with your abuser then? And Celeste says it's because she did love him and that she thought that he would get better, but he didn't. And Celeste says that she was afraid of how he would react and she stayed to survive and she stayed for her boys.
That is a completely reasonable answer from all aspects.
Absolutely. Most women in abusive relationships don't leave.
Like,
to be
in
honest.
The hope that it will change for the safety of you and your children.
But look at what Perry did when he found out that she was going to leave. Like, Perry was going to kill her.
And a lot of the times, abuse victims are emotionally manipulated into thinking that they can't leave. They have very low self-esteem. They probably don't have control of their own finances. Like, you don't know the situation, but the judge did seem to be sympathising with her. She had kind of a kind face and I felt a little bit reassured in that moment.
Yeah.
Because she was seeming to understand that, yes, this is a victim of long-term abuse and her actions have to be taken, that you have to take that into consideration when considering her actions.
Do you remember the way Perry reacted when he found out Celeste had the apartment? That
no,
was
the
chilling.
Remember that like the babysitter would have thought nothing was going on because he was dancing
was
around in his costume. It
so
was
so disturbing.
It was so disturbing.
And the other part that I hated when he came home and was like, why aren't the boys toys cleaned up, and she's like, you do it, and you would just actually get the chills because you just know she wasn't able to stand up to him at all.
Back in the hospital, Bonnie's mum then appears to wake up a bit and Bonnie asks her how she's doing and then her mum closes her eyes again. And Bonnie gets up and she closes the door and then she starts to read out her confession that she's been writing out throughout the episode. And she's basically, she stands up and I really thought that Zoe Kravitz was absolutely amazing in the scene. She says she resents her mum for her childhood. She resents her mum for slapping her, for all the bruises, for how she didn't feel safe at home growing up. She reveals that she had sex at the age of 13 to prove that she was loved. She says she resents her mum for making her feel so worthless and that she settled for a man that she doesn't even. She doesn't even finish the sentence.
Yeah.
She's like, I settled for a man that I don't even. Because we always were like, how is that? Like, what's the story with the two of them? Like, how did they end up together? They're so different. Bonnie goes on to say that she mainly resents her mum for killing a man. She says she snapped and killed Celeste's husband. When I lunged for him, I was pushing you and it was a long time coming. Bonnie then tells her mum that she wants to forgive her and she starts crying.
I was expecting the camera to pan out or turn and for somebody to be standing at the corner of like the, you know, whatever trolley bay or whatever she's in.
The doctor or something who'd heard her say the stuff about the morphine and she's or like, you're one.
We Detective don't know Quinlan. That hasn't happened
yeah,
though.
Yeah, possibly. Because the way she went, you know, like, she word for word.
Word for word.
Spelled it out what she had done.
Yeah, it wasn't implied. It was actually like, I killed someone.
And then her mother had like just a single tear.
Yeah, if she wakes up, she's fucked.
Yeah. In the courtroom, the lawyer asks Celeste about how one of her sons was biting Amabella at school. Meanwhile, Renata and Gordon are at the bankruptcy hearing. Juliet asks for her severance pay. And then she's like, oh, aunt, I'm also asking for 160 grand that I was promised for what she calls stress management. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to elaborate. And then Gordon's face.
So not only was he having an affair, but he was paying someone to have an affair with him.
And paying her about three times what she was getting for her actual job.
Paying her off to stay quiet with the money that he absolutely fucked it up. I mean, honestly, in the car afterwards, I felt Renata's rage. I mean, she was livid. She started shouting and screaming, obviously. And then at one point, she got her tissue that she was probably crying into and stuffed it into Gordon's mouth. Anyway, this is her speech. Shut the fuck up for the rest of your fucked up fucking life. Do you hear me? I don't want to hear one fucking word from your fucked up little fucking twerp mouth on why you fucked up. No matter what fucked up excuse you come up with, you fucking fuck shit fuckhead, the fucking nanny.
Shut the fuck up for the rest of your fucking life. I'm using that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going in the arsenal.
Fucking twerp mouth. That could be a good episode title. Back at Celeste's hearing, she asks to call her own character witness and she says Mary Louise should be questioned about whether she should be fit to parent the boys. And Celeste is like, listen, I'm actually a lawyer and I want to question her myself.
Ding,
the
ding,
drama.
Ding.
And the episode ends with her telling the judge, she's like, it's my fight, Your Honour. I ask that you let me wage it. And we are perfectly set up for what I expect to be the best showdown in television history in next week's finale.
She has something in the bag on Mary Louise.
But also, there's a... Did you see the face on Mary Louise, though? It's like she's playing everyone into this position. It's like she kind of wanted it to go this way.
Do you reckon?
I don't know. There was something on her face at the end.
I think she... Like, so we haven't really seen lawyer Celeste very much in this trial.
No.
And I think... Like, Celeste is a lawyer and a very good one. So I think she had this all planned. I think she was playing her a little bit.
Okay.
And I just think she's going to turn it around and say, oh, and by the way, X, Y, and Z... Game over, good luck.
Can you imagine if Celeste turned around and was like, I paid this actor to be in the house and pretend this and this. Like, imagine if she went full, like, I've been playing you the whole time. I told you that this happened and that never happened and Perry didn't do this. I was pretending to be asleep.
You know me, I love
a twist.
The most dramatic courtroom scene since Broadchurch season 2 episode 1.
Stop, Brendan. I still remember your text.
I fell off the sofa.
Guys, we won't spoil it. If you haven't watched Broad.
I haven't. I'm like,
probably the best twist. I'm not going to say ever, but up there, top five
don't
best
ruin
twists
it, don't
in television
ruin it.
History. It's no, that's all we'll say.
It's a very memorable twist.
Scream the house and stuff. Can I tell you a big spoiler for next week?
Please do.
Okay. This article was written for Screen Rant by Helen Armitage and the headline is Shailene Woodley drops major Big Little Lies season 2 finale spoiler. So... Big Little Lies star Shailene Woodley dropped a major spoiler for the show's season 2 finale during a recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. So she said, quote, in the beginning of the next episode, it's a bit of a cliffhanger. Are you ready for this? But all of the women go to visit Perry's grave and his body is missing.
Oh.
Crazy.
Helen continues.
Well, missing?
Has he been exhumed by police investigating his death? Has Mary Louise gone mad with grief and dug up his body herself?
With her bare hands.
Has a zombie virus hit Monterey? The last one isn't likely, of course, but either way, it's going to have big ramifications for the Monterey Five. As there are no current plans for a third season of the show, it would seem that there is lots of wrapping up to do in just one episode. And if an event as big as Perry's body going missing isn't considered a major spoiler by HBO because Shailene Woodley was given permission to reveal then Big Little Lies fans are in for one hell of a season 2 finale.
How mad is it they've been so secret about the whole season and now they're like, like, okay, you go on Jimmy Kimmel and you say, yeah, Perry's body's going missing. But then Jimmy was like, it's not a cliffhanger if it's at the start of the episode, you're going to explain it.
Because
yeah.
they want people like us to spend the whole week going, how does that work into the story? What does that mean? Has he been exhumed for Celeste's side of the court trial? Has he been
Is he the wonder twin? If they're going to if the body's gone because his DNA is on the brother's body from killing him or something.
This is what I'm telling you now. I bet she's had him dug up because yeah. it will. Yeah,
he's
I think
implicated
it's
in something else or something.
Or Mary Louise is, or he is the brother. They need the DNA for something yeah. and it's part of her big plan.
Or is it Watson? No, this is so far fetched.
I go on and just
live for it.
Somebody said before that he wasn't dead at all.
Oh. No. I mean, we saw that bone hanging out of his neck.
Yeah.
If he's not dead at all, I want the season three.
Imagine if he wasn't dead, he was sitting at home being like, okay, Mary Louise, now you need to go in and say this week and you need to do that. I want my kids. Imagine if Mary Louise is getting the boys back because she wanted Perry to have them and they all moved away together.
Have we all seen the film The Prestige?
No.
Okay, Jesus, I won't ruin it then. there's a point I want to make.
Make it. I don't think I'll ever watch it.
It's bloody
Who's
brilliant,
in
Brendan.
It?
I'll make it in a few minutes and you won't remember that it's to do with the film, so you can okay. go and watch it, right? Okay, go on.
Okay, you can't attribute it to the movie then, no.
Yes,
no.
So we know that something mad is going to happen next week, which is very clever on their behalf.
Do you want a little run through next week's trailer so that we can kind of tee up?
More than anything in my entire life.
Yeah, so like the usual, it's the kind of like cut, like just real fast, like scenes, so it doesn't really give away anything. But like from watching it, like what I took from it was it opens with the waves, obviously. There's shots of the courtroom. Mary Louise takes the stand.
Oh my gosh.
We hear Celeste say, the Monterey Five, or whatever we call ourselves, the lie is the friendship.
Who?
Jane says, I can just see the damage that it's done. It's eroding every single one of us. We then see Bonnie in a hospital watching a trolley being wheeled away, but we don't see, you know, who's in it or if they're alive or if they're dead.
We're not getting the double draining.
Mary Louise says, who knows what I haven't seen? I mean, that one. She's like a dog with a bone.
Oh, she is, yeah.
Who knows what I haven't seen?
Yeah.
That is such a messed up sentence. What does it even mean?
She just means that, like, oh, you know, well, like, there could... She just suspects them all of doing everything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Mary Louise hugging the twins in court. The twins run over to her in court and they hug her. She bends down and hugs them, and it's cut to make it look like Celeste is looking across from the benches as if Mary Louise has won custody. That's what it's done to imply, but it
might. Nana's going to prison.
It mightn't look like that at all. And then at the end, Madeline says to somebody who I assume to be Ed,
yeah,
you can't falter here, do you hear me?
Oh,
which makes me think that she's told. Now I am putting two together.
Madeline.
I from the way you can't see it, you just hear her speak. But it sounds like she may have told Ed.
Well, she will have to. If we're to believe everything that's gone on with them and how much he wants the truth and how much they need to draw a line in their old relationship and start their new one, I think she will have to tell him in order to move on. That will be the kind of, I will tell you this, it will explain everything that I've done and then it will be a fresh start and we're in it together.
Yeah.
So I think she has always had to have told him, and I think you're right.
They definitely have teed that up in this episode as well. Like the Renata conversation, she's like, you can't tell Ed, and Ed going, well, what were you lying about? Like, they're definitely implying that.
I think there's going to be a conversation. So he started to come back to her a bit when she was in the wedding dress. I think he's going to go, I want in, but I know there's something you're not telling me, and I want you to tell me you owe me this after everything, and then we'll start fresh, and she's going to have to tell him, and that's what I think.
What if Ed then gets the ultimate revenge on Madeline?
You said that at the beginning of the season. That was always an option.
And also, do you remember that scene when after Madeline started crying at the school when she gave that speech about rainbows? Remember?
Yeah.
And Celeste afterwards, Ed was like, oh, well,
what else
don't
are
I
you
know?
Not
yeah.
Me? Yeah.
But the
and they were both, Renata and Celeste were both like to each other, how much does Ed know?
Yeah.
I wonder, has Ed known this whole bloody time and is he just playing a game?
What could potentially prevent Ed from spilling it will be that it's actually protecting Bonnie as well. And I think he has very soft, protective feelings towards her and a very strong friendship as well.
And I think him and Bonnie have definitely had, like, nothing untoward, but they've definitely had moments where, private moments where.
Connections.
They definitely get each other. Something. They understand each other more than their spouses understand them.
I also think it's an option that we will see that camera pan out of maybe Nathan or Bonnie's
dad. Oh my
god,
imagine if it was Nathan because Bonnie's gone off the wall. And imagine if Madeline told Nathan.
Why would Madeline say,
I don't know.
You can't fault her.
Yeah. I just wonder if it's Nathan and not Ed.
Yeah, I wonder though, was Nathan there when Bonnie was confessing to her mother?
Yeah, because he'll hear the line as well that she doesn't love him.
Yeah.
And that gives him a reason to be angry and tell the
he'll
police.
Hit the roof. Yeah. And he is, they keep showing him and Skye dropping in and out the hospital, in and out, in and out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he could have easily have been there. Now, in fairness, they were there that day that she did the confession afterwards, and they don't really show them, like, they kind of just get up and leave the room. He could have come back and been like, oh, I forgot my keys, and she's there like, oh, I killed Perry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know earlier on we were saying like maybe Celeste is playing this whole thing that she's like, oh, I'm like, I was, she's playing the whole like, I'm the, what would you call it, like grieving widow, and my kids, you know, I'll do the best for them, and I was obviously in such an awful relationship, I was abused and everything, that she's playing all of that up so Mary Louise doesn't see it coming when she questions her on all, you know, like the big twist that you're saying.
I think that's a good, like, there's a good chance that that's happening.
I think another thing that could happen is that Celeste knows something, but because she was so, like, grief-stricken and so emotionally traumatised from the abuse that she endured, that she is kind of only realising it now. And I think Perry might have told Celeste something when they were together, and it's all coming back to her now in the words of Celine Dion.
Do you remember at the earlier in this season when we saw a flashback to Perry and Celeste's first date?
Yeah.
There's probably more to that scene.
There has to be. I think that's when he spoke about the brother.
Exactly.
Celeste definitely knows something, and she's kept it in the back pocket until she really needed to use it, or else she kind of almost forgot about it.
And it's about the death of his brother.
Yeah. I'm in two minds whether she forgot or whether she was playing us all, because I just feel like she's so powerful. She's such a good lawyer. She obviously made so much money.
Yeah.
I think she's more intelligent than to let Mary Louise walk all over
her. They're also making us kind of almost forget that Celeste is a lawyer.
Until the very last second of that season when she stood up. It was like your man from Saw getting up when he was on the ground the whole time. And I was like, yes, with the music in the background. I was like, she had a plan all along.
And she almost hired a lawyer that wasn't going to kind of even cop it. Do you know that way? She hired a lawyer who's not saying anything.
The last job she did was Avenue Q, saving that.
Yeah, the fucking puppets.
You love that. Yeah, you love that.
I love the fucking puppets. So that there's definitely something juicy is going to happen, right? So there is an article that was on Time magazine. It was written by Reza Bruner, and she is saying these are the most convincing theories on how season two will end. So first theory is that Mary Louise will die.
No, let's vote for them. Okay, so let's say yes or no, Brendan, when Rebecca calls them out, and you say it's not happening at all. My opinion,
no, I don't think so. But no, like, way, no, I don't think so, right? The second theory is that Corey's motives are way more deeper and darker than they appear.
Possibly.
I'm saying no.
There's something about him that I don't know what
they
it is.
They don't have time.
Yeah, maybe not.
we haven't got the time.
Theory three is that Bonnie's diary is going to give it all away, or her confession of what we've kind of come to the conclusion of. Her diary. Imagine if they just found her diary
too
when she's asleep.
Could be a bit boring, but also, who the fuck writes saying a murder confession? It's very stupid.
It is.
We didn't actually see if that.
No.
I think what she wrote down was the confession to her mother, but I don't know for sure if she actually wrote down
those words
that
in the
bit.
Diary.
Yeah, I'm going no on that one.
No,
as well.
I'm saying no. It's too obvious.
Next theory is that Bonnie is going to try and take her own life, and that will kind of be a nod to all of the drowning visions that we've seen throughout the series.
Yeah, possibly.
100%. The drowning has to lead to something.
Yeah, that water. But then I'm like, I don't know.
And then we've got the whole debate of, was it a premonition? Or is it, if you say something enough to someone, they do it? You know what I mean? It's like a psychic. It's like, did the psychic tell you were going to buy a red car, so you bought a red car because the psychic told you? Or were you always going to buy a red car?
And she has been walking into the waves all the time.
She
has. Throughout the whole series. So she just walks in.
Very certain on that one.
Another theory is that Madeline will be the one to crack.
Yeah.
Which is very likely.
Yeah, it's looking like that right now.
And then the last theory is that Mary Louise's other son, Raymond, makes a key appearance.
1 million billion.
Is he not dead?
I don't know if he is.
Well, not like I'm
oh
agreeing
my God,
to that.
Is Perry Raymond?
This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So
is Mary Louise Raymond?
Is Celeste Raymond? I'm thinking, right.
Imagine if, oh guys,
I'm agreeing that he could make a key appearance, in the sense that it mightn't be a physical appearance, but he will have a key role to play in the tying up of the story.
Yeah, we were told about him
about
for
this.
A reason.
Guys, how do you feel about this? Right, you're going to hit the roof when I say this, and I actually have tingles because I feel like I'm so right. What if Perry was Perry and Raymond all along? twins swapping out, sharing a life. Perry went away a lot. Did Raymond come back? Was Raymond the nicer brother?
Oh my god, no. Did Perry do something really fucked up when he was a kid? And did Mary Louise make up that it was the son Raymond? Oh, it was my son Raymond. He died. It's terrible.
I think they were identical. I think they were swapping lives. Was Raymond always alive? Were they interchanging in the marriage with Celeste?
Did Raymond die when he was a baby or something? And did they always? Oh my god, no. That would have been no. Oh god,
guys, I'll just put it out there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. No.
To be honest, I'm at a point where I can't even make a prediction for the final episode. All I feel like is that a central character is going to be killed or kill themselves. That's all that I can say.
Did Mary Louise get a DNA test from Ziggy?
She wanted to.
She wanted to, but
she's taken him. Has he stayed over with the twins in hers?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, remember we thought
she
might
take it. She's been out with the scissors. Yeah. Haircuts, boys.
So I'd say
Celeste could do it as well.
But I'd say that she probably did take the...
DNA is coming into this.
Yeah, so she took the hair off Ziggy's head and then she exhumed Perry's body to try and see if they're the same.
Or Celeste did.
Would she?
Because
how does she have the time with all that ambient?
How long is this episode?
Is the other brother? Is the other brother not dead? Here's my theory. I'm going to lay it out.
Go.
The other brother was absolutely mental. He was doing mad stuff. Mary Louise had him carted off to some mental health facility or psych ward or something really untoward years ago. Lied to everyone that he died. He was an identical to Perry, and then he kind of came back and they agreed to keep it all under wraps and they kept interchanging and swapping lives. It will come out in the DNA based on Ziggy and the twins and whose DNA is related
to.
So
what
to
you're
you.
Saying
prediction.
Is did when they were children, the two boys right were growing up, and did Raymond
one
kill
evil
Perry
one wasn't. No,
did
I don't
the evil
think,
one
no.
This is another theory, right?
Okay, so
did
that's not what I'm saying.
Did the evil one kill Perry, and then did Raymond go on and they were like, oh, you just try to live a normal life and just move on?
So
and
do you think one is dead? I think they're both alive. No, sorry, I think they were both alive. Like, I don't think the brother died years ago. I think Mary Louise lied about it.
Oh my god,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know, I think I'm getting too far-fetched now. I'm like, one of them was, yeah.
I'm definitely getting too far-fetched. But DNA is coming into this, because why else would you exhume a
body?
Yeah. So why would they need to do DNA? So they need to do DNA to prove the kids are who they say they are. Perry is who he says he is. Mary Louise is who she says she is. They're the only things. Or Raymond. Do you know what I mean? Why else would you be looking at DNA?
And are we definitely sure? Yeah, Mary Louise would be the only one with any reason to exhume his body. Celeste wouldn't need to.
Not that we know of, but I think Celeste did do it, and I think this is her big finale, because she says the Monterey Five go. This is what Shailene Woodley said in the beginning of the next episode. All of the women go to visit Perry's grave, but his body is missing. Why would they all be there?
That's so weird.
His body is missing to them, which means implies that Mary Louise exhumed it,
or Celeste brought them to the grave.
Okay.
To be guys, this is what I've done. I don't think Mary Louise exhumed it.
My head actually hurts.
Okay.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, this is crazy shit. But honestly, but if they're saying his body's missing, I never saw that coming.
Neither did I. But like, if we're getting told it means it's obviously, I don't know. I can't get my head around it.
Okay.
I think it's going to be brilliant.
I can't wait. We're going to have a season finale viewing all together.
Oh yeah, are we going to your house?
With a glass of Malbec or something, you know? Monterey Malbec.
Oh, someone's changed their tune.
No, Amabella's birthday party.
If you want to send us your thoughts, your theories, your predictions for the final episode.
Yeah, get your predictions in. We did it for Line of Duty. We could maybe tweet out some of them so you can brag to people that you got it in writing before the episode went out. Like I did with my double twin swapping Raymond still alive theory.
I love that. I think you could be right.
Let's all
if you're right,
on a theory,
you should get a
that's
prize.
Mine. You think Perry killed Raymond?
And I think that Celeste just knows something and that she's going to have something in the back burner that will be revealed.
Brendan, one sentence theory?
I think the double drowning is still going to happen.
Okay.
Although she's not going to drag her mother, who's basically already dead, out of a hospital to finish
security.
Her off.
Okay, we've got a double drowning. We've got one twin killed the other, and possibly one twin never died.
Someone's going to crack.
Get your predictions into us at ShrinePod on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can email us shrinepod@gmail.com as well. We will talk to you after the finale.
Can't wait. Oh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.